We have been on kind of a run, have we not, here at Albion, at having the blessing of seeing some of the missionaries that we support be home and able to come and visit us and give us an update and challenge and encourage us and let us know how they can pray for us. And it seems like we had one last month and the month before that and the month before that. What a privilege. And now we have Ben and Sarah with us. Ben has been with us before. Sarah was going to be, and, well, you see little Jaden up there. He didn't want mom to come because he needed to be born or something. But I want to invite Ben and Sarah. Are you coming up too? No. Okay, well, then you know that you're going to have to at least wave. Ben's parents are with, so Grandpa and Grandma are here to help watch the kiddos as well, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to let Ben reintroduce his family. You'll see on the bulletin, instead of a sermon outline and a blank page in the back, I've given you some questions to pay attention to Ben as he's talking to see if he answers. I just showed these to him this morning, so if he doesn't answer them, make something up. It'll work, but we are delighted to have you here with us. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you give us this glorious privilege of being ambassadors of reconciliation, the message that we can be reconciled to you, our God, our Creator, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you give that calling to all of us, but there are some that you raise up with the special calling to go to various places in the world. Even as we've read, they have beautiful feet because they take the word that has to be heard so that faith can be exercised and Christ can enter a life. How we thank you for Ben and Sarah. We ask you now to strengthen him through your Holy Spirit. Let his words be clear and strengthening even to us. May they challenge and stretch our faith, and may at the end of this time we all rejoice together in your most holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Take all the time you need, Ben.
All right. Well, thank you, Albion, for having us today. We're so thankful to be able to be here and to be able to be face-to-face and in person. We've been through a lot of lockdowns in the Czech Republic, and it's so refreshing to be able to have all of us here this morning together. So thank you, and good morning. Like Pastor Kevin mentioned, last time I was with you, my wife had just delivered our son, Jaden. I remember emailing Pastor Kevin the last weekend of October. I don't think I'm going to be able to come on Sunday. Sarah's about to have this child. So on October 29th of 2018, Jaden was born, and it was a really special day for us. So now, like we were saying, these are now our kids. You'll maybe see them in the lobby after the service. Jaden's now 2.5 years old. Phoebe's now 4.5. And, well, Sarah and I, we're getting older, too. So as a young high school student, I remember living a pretty comfortable life. I was definitely focused on being a good tennis player, and I was really focused on getting good grades and working hard. But I was a bit comfortable. So I was completely caught off guard one day when my youth pastor asked me a question that really changed the trajectory of my life. During youth group one evening in a dark lit room, my pastor Jeremy, he approached me and he said, "Ben, would you consider coming to the Czech Republic and helping teach an English camp this summer?" I responded quite confidently, "No thanks, not me." And he continued in persistence. He asked me a second time, which I politely said, "No thanks, not me." And still yet asked a third time. Fortunately, praise God, I said yes, and I ended up going to the Czech Republic for the very first time. Fast forward to today, and our family now serves in the Czech Republic. We serve with an organization called Josiah Venture. Hint, hint, it's on the back of your, it's one of your questions. And less than 1% of the country is evangelical Christian. So we are actively praying for the 99% of people in our country to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. This is not simply some kind of statistic for us. This became real life. When we moved into a city, this beautiful city up here in the corner, called Ustinalabam. This city has over 100,000 people, and in this city we have two churches. We're in relationship with both of these churches, and we know that there are no more than 100 believers in our city. And so this is the kind of statistic that's real for us, that gets us out of bed every morning and really wakes us up every day. So before I go much further, I have to pause and I want to ask all of you, what about you? What harvest field opportunities has God given you? What are the opportunities you have maybe with your friends or your family or coworkers or classmates? Well, this morning I want to share with you three specific stories. These three stories highlight the incredible rich harvest field that we're seeing happen in the Czech Republic. And I also want to share that these three stories that I'm going to share with you this morning, the friends that the stories represent have all given permission to share these stories. They excitedly told me, yes, please share that story with others. I would love for others to hear what God has done. So as we talk about each story, I want to also connect these stories to the Word and to Scripture. And so I encourage you to have out either your Bible with you or your phone with you, because we're going to be in a few different passages this morning. So when we left for the Czech Republic, we started praying for a language tutor for our kids. And ideally, right, we pictured some kind of Christian that could teach our kids Czech, and also someone that could really disciple our kids and mentor our kids. Little did we know what God was going to do. So we met this student named Eliška. And she was a college student, she was studying education, and she had incredible English skills. And one day as Sarah was praying, she really felt it impressed upon her heart, we should maybe ask Eliška. She'd be great at this. But wait, Eliška? Eliška wasn't yet a Christian, and Eliška was in another relationship that wasn't necessarily honoring to God. But as Sarah walked one day and argued and talked with God, she felt convicted. Sarah, do you trust me? Do you trust me with your kids? And do you believe that you're a family on mission? So again, I want to pause and I want to ask each of you this morning, is there someone in your life that's maybe a bit unlikely to follow Jesus? Is there someone that maybe God's brought into your life and you've had the honest thought in your head, wow, I'm not sure if they would come closer to Christ right now. In what ways has his Spirit asked you or invited you into a relationship with this maybe unlikely person? Well, the story of Eliška reminds me of the unlikely encounter we see in John chapter 4. We see that Jesus, right, he's talking to this Samaritan woman. Many of you know this conversation before, but I want to highlight a couple of verses for you. We'll start in chapter 4, verse 4 of John. It says he had to pass through Samaria, talking about Jesus. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, he was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." So this story, right, it starts in one of the most unlikely places. It's in Samaria. Many of you know that Jews, they would intentionally go around Samaria because there was lots of conflict. There was tension here between the Jews and between the Samaritans. Yet, Jesus passed through. Jesus was present, and he was not simply present. He engaged a conversation with this woman at the well. And quite radically, he asked her for a drink, and he actually put himself in a position of need. This same kind of thing happened with us and our friend Eliška. We had a genuine need. We were looking for a tutor to help our kids. And we were kind of at a crossroads. We could ask Eliška to tutor our kids, or we could look for someone else. But by God's grace, we said yes. Eliška started coming over to our home twice a week to speak Czech, And God started laying this beautiful friendship between her and our family. This is a picture of her and our kids. We were celebrating Alishka's birthday, which involved lots of frosting and lots of sprinkles, pink sprinkles. Yes, and so one day, specifically, only a few weeks after she had started tutoring our kids, Phoebe and Alishka, they went on a walk. And when they returned that day, Alishka told Sarah, yeah, it was the cutest thing. As we were walking, Phoebe kept telling me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. So how did this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, how did this conversation unfold? Well, I want to highlight for you verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Essentially, Jesus, he lifted this woman's eyes from this physical water right in front of them to the living eternal water that could only be found in him. You see, Sarah, she had the same kind of desire with Alishka. She wanted Alishka to taste and see this living water. And so she started praying a bold prayer for Alishka. She prayed that God would make Alishka uncomfortable until she experienced the unconditional love of the Father. But a few weeks later, as Alishka was supposed to arrive for another session, another tutoring session, she didn't show up. She didn't come over. She didn't respond to the message. She didn't call. And quite honestly, it was bizarre. A few days later, after still yet more silence, Sarah actually saw Alishka. And quite exasperated, Alishka finally spoke to Sarah and she said, I really don't want you to be disappointed in me. And Sarah, full of grace and full of love, said, there's nothing you can do that will disappoint me, and I hope that I can prove that to you. Well, Alishka crumbled in that conversation. She admitted that her life was falling apart. The relationship she had been in had ended. She was needing to move out and to come into a whole new season of life. She was at a place of despair, and she was searching for hope. And don't we see that same kind of hopelessness here in this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman? Jesus revealed some of the sin in her life. He had revealed that she was looking for love in the five previous husbands and also with this current lover. And there seems to be a lot at stake for this woman at the well. In that moment, the woman, right, she could have just gotten up, she could have left, she could have ran. But she remained in that conversation. And she learned that Jesus, this person she was talking to, could quite possibly be the Messiah. Well, Alishka, right, she was at that similar place. She could run, she could hide, but she remained in that conversation, and she remained in the relationship with Sarah and with our family. Shortly thereafter, Sarah invited her for coffee one day, and they spent hours exploring some of Alishka's deepest questions. Sarah bought Alishka a Bible, and as in Sarah's own words, she said, I've never met someone that has so cherished the Word of God, the Bible, the physical Bible in her hands. After several more conversations, Alishka said yes to Jesus. Alishka chose to believe even though no one in her family had yet believed in Jesus. Alishka chose to believe in this living, eternal water, even though she lives in one of the most atheistic countries in the world. Alishka is a first-generation believer. The decision to follow Jesus cost her greatly, but has also filled her abundantly. And Alishka is learning to follow Jesus daily. She's learning to read the Word. She's learning to center her life around His truth. She's even learning to play drums in our church and to serve and to be engaged and involved in community. And we are now praying that Alishka, like this Samaritan woman, would go back to her town, to her places, and that she would share and lead many more to know Jesus. So I want to return back to the question I asked you at the beginning. Who again might be an Alishka in your life, someone that's maybe a bit unlikely someone you didn't expect or someone you didn't see necessarily turning and giving their life to Christ? What are the harvest field opportunities that God has given you right now in this season of life? There are also people in your life who actually might be really eager to meet Jesus. They might be enthusiastically seeking more of Christ, but they just don't know it yet. Such was the case with our friend David. Last summer, our pastor's wife invited David to come to an English camp. At the very last minute, David signed up, really not knowing many people at this camp. And little did David know how deeply impacted his life would be from this time at the camp. David told me, he said, at the camp, I experienced love. I felt like it was a place where I could actually belong. So this loving and this compelling environment, it really captivated David. As the week progressed, he met more Christ followers. Many of us leaders at this camp were Christians, and he really started to feel more connected. He felt valued, and again, he felt loved. And again, I want to pause and ask you, what are these loving, grace-filled environments for you? Is Albion, is this place where we gather, is this a loving, grace-filled environment where new people can come and feel the love of Jesus when they walk through these doors? And what about your homes? Are your homes loving, grace-filled environments where neighbors or outsiders could even come and feel loved and welcomed and valued? I read this phenomenal book by Rosaria Butterfield called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And she says this, she says that radically ordinary hospitality shows this skeptical post-Christian world what authentic Christianity looks like. So David, he started coming after camp, he started coming to youth group. He continued to ask his questions. He continued to be in this environment where he felt like he could grow and where he could be honest and where he could be challenged. I'm reminded of another story in John. If you just flip back to John chapter 1, we see this incredible little interaction between Jesus and a few others. If you read with me in verse 35, it says this: the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. This is talking about John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following. He said, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I love the simplicity in this approach, right, with what Jesus did with these curious disciples. He tells them, come and see. Come and check it out, right? Come and see. It's a simple phrase, but a beautiful invitation. And we see from the text that Jesus spent some time with these guys. And again, that's exactly what happened with David. He got to come and see at camp, and he got to come and see at youth group. And then after, we continued, you know, to invite him into relationship. His curiosity grew. Shortly thereafter, we invited him to do a four-week evangelistic Bible study where he could ask even more questions. And it was so exciting. It was like I got to watch him literally put together these puzzle pieces of how the gospel comes together and how it brings meaning in life. Shortly thereafter, David told us, "I'm in. I'm stepping out in faith, and I want to follow Jesus." Something else that I love about this story, too, that we see in John chapter 1, is we actually get to see a bit of Andrew's response. If you look at verse 41 and 42, it says that he first found his own brother Simon, and he said, "We have found the Messiah." Jesus, and so he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So Andrew was so impacted by his time with Jesus that he went and he found his brother. Andrew's encounter with Jesus, it changed him and it resulted in action. He couldn't keep this news to himself. Well, we are watching the same thing happen now with David. This is actually his older sister, Yohanka, who also came to camp and who also got a taste and see a little bit more about Jesus. I remember back in January, we had these two over for some American hamburgers and French fries. It was their request, and we graciously like, yeah, we'll do that for sure. And so they came over, and at this conversation, we were asking them more about their relationship with God, and Johanka told us, she said that she had shared with some of her classmates that she is now a Christ follower. This faith that has been cultivating in her life is not just something now private for her, but she took a risk, and she told several of her friends at school, I am now a Christian. And what, again, I have to remind you is that most young people, like David and Johanka, that are Christ followers, they're probably going to be the only Christians in their school. There's not going to be many others there that maybe can understand or relate or encourage them. They're likely to be one of only a few. So again, I want to challenge you and ask you, who is the David in your life? Who's maybe someone that's eager? Maybe they've asked you questions before about God or the Bible, and they're just waiting for an invitation. They're just waiting for you to extend a hand. Hey, come and see. Come into our home. Let's share a meal together. Hey, I'm going to Albion on Sunday morning. Come with me. Come check it out. I'll introduce you to some of my friends. Again, what are the harvest field opportunities you have in your life? I want to share you another quote that this author said. She says, let God use your home, your apartment, dorm room, front yard, community gymnasium, or garden for the purpose of making strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family. Because that is the point. Building the church, living like a family, the family of God. So again, what are these harvest field opportunities that God is giving you, maybe even just this week? I want to share with you one final story. We met a student named Densha back actually in 2017 at an English and music camp that we were at. And Densha was actually in my English class. This was our class. We were all learning, or I was helping teach them English for the week. And I remember Densha so specifically. She was so shy. She was so very quiet and very, very reserved. It was a lot of my teacher education skills to bring her into conversation and to get her to start speaking some English. Well, what was so incredible is that when Sarah and I landed in 2019, the January of 2019, we had learned that Densha was actually coming to our church, and she was involved in a music ministry where several leaders from our church, every single week, they teach students piano or guitar or how to sing, and Densha was coming. She loved being there, and she started to meet more of the Christians at our church. I remember then there we were one night at youth group, and Densha was there. And that night, she looked kind of off. She looked a bit upset. While we were having a great discussion about the Bible, I remember she stood up, and she stormed away to the kitchen. I found her in the kitchen. She was on the floor just sitting there with tears streaming down her face. She was deeply wrestling with what could it actually mean? What would this actually mean in my life if I said yes to following Jesus? You see, Densha, she is a very intellectual person. She has so many questions, and she has such profound and deep thinking. I would say that Densha, she's a questioner. Do any of you know a questioner in your life? The person that's often asking lots of questions, or maybe they're seeking intellectual truth? Do you have maybe a coworker or a classmate who's hungry, who's often seeking more information? They're always asking those good questions. Well, I'm reminded of another friend, another character in Scripture from John chapter 1 in verse 43. It says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. So we see, right, that Nathanael's first response to Jesus was a question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I wonder if he was a lot like Densha too, like, okay, I'm going to bring up my questions. We can tell, right, from this question, he wasn't quite sure about Jesus' origin or about his messiahship. According to Nathanael, it didn't necessarily make sense that the Messiah could come from Nazareth. But Nathanael's question led him straight to Jesus. And this is what happened with Densha. She started actually coming over to our home and she started asking these deep intellectual questions. She was searching for these questions in her head and trying to somehow figure out how they impacted her heart. She would often stay at her home for many hours just processing what she was learning. And I have to admit, those times were messy. For all of you that have had kids, or maybe you have young kids right now, or maybe your grandparents, you know that inside the home environment, it can get a little chaotic and a little messy. I mean, there was often times when Densha was over, there was spilled glasses all over the coffee table, there was lots of jumping maybe off of the couches, and some dirty diapers along the way. But God was right there in the messiness. You see, a few weeks later, when we were at a music conference with many other students, Densha chose to show up. Densha was there all weekend at this conference. And on the last day of the conference, Densha, she came up to us. I'll never forget it. She just said, "It happened last night." And we inquired, "What happened?" She responded, "I became a Christian." And it was so breathtaking to hear her resolve to follow Jesus. Literally, like Nathanael, her questions led her straight to Jesus. She went from being this quiet, shy student at English camp to actually last summer being at the same, literally the same campsite. Three years later, she's sitting up there. You can see my wife Sarah's right next to her. Densha's in the black. And she's proclaiming to other students about how Jesus changed her life. Even just 3 weeks ago, we received a message from Densha on Facebook Messenger saying that she's so excited because this summer she's choosing to get baptized. So to close this morning, I actually want to turn back to John 4 for just a minute. I want to look at kind of an underrated part of this story that we often see with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So I'll start reading for us in verse 27. Just then, right, so this is after kind of this snapshot of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Just then, the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "What are you talking about with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out to the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, this is what I want you to hear. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." The disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months, then come the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. See that the fields are white for harvest." So here we have this small little snapshot into Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Right? They were focused on a very valid need, right? Hunger. I'm often that hungry guy going back for seconds and wondering when lunch is. They were hungry. They were bringing up some legitimate questions. But they were missing the spiritual need. They were missing the spiritual vision of this ripe, white harvest field. The disciples were looking down, but Jesus exhorted them, "Look up. Look around. Lift up your eyes." So I want to challenge each of you, Albion, this morning with this same kind of conviction. What are these harvest opportunities that God has given you? Who is the unlikely person in your life? Who's the Elishka in your life who does not yet know Jesus? Who is the eager person in your life? Who's that David in your life who's maybe just waiting for some kind of invitation? And who's that questioning person in your life? Who's the dentia in your life who's maybe asking great questions, but they can't quite figure it all out? What are the harvest opportunities that God has given each of you? I believe that there is a rich and a white, a beautiful harvest here in Cocato, Minnesota. Here, literally surrounded by fields, I believe that same kind of concept is true spiritually, that there are so many ripe and beautiful relationships within all of your networks and circles. I believe that God is stirring up these opportunities if we'll only look up and see what he's doing, both here locally, within this region, nationally, and throughout the world. And so Albion, I want to again say thank you for partnering with us. We are so thankful for your ongoing support to raise up these young people in the Czech Republic. And we pray that God would encourage each of your hearts this morning. Let me pray for each of you. Father, thank you for this community of believers. Thank you, God, that you've rallied us here this morning, that you're the God, the global God, the God of the harvest that longs for us to join in your work with you. Father, I pray that the people, the specific names that you've prompted this morning in our hearts, that we wouldn't just sit and ponder and reflect on them, but God, that you would actually spur us out of love and out of our deep identity with you, that you would spur us into action. I pray, Father, that you would remind us over and over again that when we go, when we seek another friend, when we start a spiritual conversation, when we ask a question, that you are right there with us. You're not the distant God, but you're the God that has come close. So thank you. Thank you that we have been entrusted with this life-changing news of Jesus Christ. Father, you are good, and we love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.